That's impressive.
Don't sound so excited over there.
Because I'm.
What's going on? This is the worst podcast I've ever been on.
We haven't started yet, jerk.
Yeah, got any gum?
Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and believe it or not, I'm not drunk again. Got drunk last night. So I guess the best way I could describe this season, I finally thought about it, Jekyll and Hyde. And so tonight, it looks like Sean Payton served up the elixir to bring out Beast Mode. The game started out pretty sloppy.
I know how you kids like them sloppy.
But the Saints found their footing and controlled the shitty Bears all night long. We're recording immediately after the game on Monday night, which is different than our past instant reaction shows, because if my memory's correct, this is our first instant reaction show this year after the Saints actually win a game. So, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I think the Bears are probably the Gummy Bears. Gummy Bears, about to hear and there and everywhere. Not whatever you called them. I'll go with a 3.3.
All right. And I called them the shitty bears.
Yeah, gummy bears much better than shitty bears.
All right.
Shitty bears are so uninspired.
All right.
Like the Bears offense.
Zing! All right. So 3.5 drinking the Crown Royal, I believe.
Yes, I actually got a few gifts recently. I was drinking regular Crown during the game.
You got gifts or JPEGs?
No gifts. I see what you did there, fucking there. So I was drinking regular Crown during the game, and then one Sunday we were doing the podcast, I switched to a Crown Maple and mixed that with some water. So now I'm just drinking Crown Maple and water, and I might make one more drink during the show.
That's kind of like a hey buddy, but not quite.
It's a half.
And speaking of hey buddies, hey Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
0.
Aha.
Pussy.
Well, he's back. He's been having a number the last couple of weeks, but you're back to the zeros. But as long as the Saints are winning, you keep doing what you want to do. And we're welcoming back an old friend of the show, Adam. Welcome to the show. What's your name and what's your number?
Man, I'm waiting for that time that you forget to say what's my name. Oh. Just waiting, but you're really good. It's a good job. So it's Adam, and I'm a 5.3.
Whoa.
3.
Whoa.
Oh. The extra number would be I had my wisdom teeth pulled, so I had some painkillers going on, too.
Oh, sweet. So you're really enjoying the show.
Yeah, I drank a nice bottle of wine while I was nervous watching the game because, A, it's the Saints, B, it's fantasy, and now I've got a little celebratory Frangelica.
Hey!
Oh, come on. You can't drink the Vachella Gunt like Jeff does.
I might have to go pour me one.
Chipetta.
It's good, right?
A nice little after-dinner drink.
Yeah, it's like drinking a pecan pie. All right, so let's get started with game recap.
Take me back to Chicago and lay my soul.
And so my question to open game recap is, did the Saints play really well tonight, or do the Bears just suck that much?
The Bears suck that much. We played better in the secondary.
We had three interceptions.
Yeah, but the Bears suck that much.
Look, I agree. The Bears do suck, but the Saints did play inspired ball tonight, so it was a combination of the two. But yeah, the Bears are
different. They had a little different jive about them. I mean, they were reacting a little quicker. They made a little better tackles here and there. I mean, they were kind of flying to the ball. I mean, Breeze was ridiculous. I mean, I thought they really played. I mean, they played much better than they have. But the Bears are terrible. Oh, and it's not the gummy bears. It's the bad news bears.
Oh. Yeah, so sorry. So y'all brought up the defense playing a little bit better. And then the new names on the defense. And let's count Pierre Warren in this crowd, can we? But, I mean, so who was the guys that they added this specific week? Like, who's this Frederick fella?
Exactly.
Terrence Frederick?
Should have done my homework on him.
Yeah.
he was a seventh round pick in 2012. Didn't and ended up getting cut. Signed on when the team got cut. He's basically been a nobody, and all of a sudden he starts this weekend. Corey White was inactive tonight.
Uh-huh. A healthy scratch.
I'm sure, Jeff, you were happy about that, right?
I was. I didn't miss him. But yeah, so Terrence Frederick, so he actually, of the newbies, he led them in tackles with 4. P-Rob had I know I'm jumping on that one, but just the beautiful interception, I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah, look at what it was to lead off the game too, you know, for first series of the game for the Bears, and it was a tip ball, but P-Rob got it, didn't drop it.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, we gave the ball right back with Toons as the driving cat. I mean, Nick Toon.
Don't just look out!
He drives around all over the town. Toons is the driving cat.
Although Nick Toon did have his best game as a Saint, or as in the NFL for that matter.
Maybe not his best game, but he did have a great catch later on, you know, when Breeze was kind of scrambling, looking for a guy, and yeah, was on the sideline and got the first down. That was a great catch. I mean, look, we didn't just bench him right away when he turned it over. I mean, it was a weird turnover, the helmet hitting the ball. That's a little fluky.
It's not his fault.
I mean, he's still kind of it's still kind of almost a rookie season for him. And he's still, I guess, he's getting the jitters out, I guess, because he's been in the league for 3 years, but this is kind of the most, you know, time that he's seen. And we need to replace Colston. So he's a big body. He's kind of got that Colston type. You know, give him this playing time right now, and hopefully, you know, he gains some confidence. That fumble sucks, but he did. Other than that, he had a good.
Well, and like Jason was saying, the fumble, I wouldn't really put that on him. I mean, A, it's wet, and B, helmet to ball.
Yeah, everyone is going to fumble that. Emmitt Smith is going to fumble that. So right. The fumble, you're right, I wouldn't hold it against him.
It was just one of those fluky things. It was bad timing, bad luck, beginning of the game. And all the Saints fans are like, whoa, here we go again.
But I like what I've seen out of Nick Toon in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Colson, love him to death. He's been great, but, I mean, he's getting old. He's getting slow.
He did have a good, beautiful touchdown catch himself, though.
I mean, 5 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown. He had a very solid game. But, I mean, you can tell he's just, you know, he's not going to beat anybody in coverage. But if he's open, he's going to catch the ball. And it's going to be a question on whether they keep him around next year with all the salary cap decisions they're going to have to make. And we'll get into that much later. But for tonight, Colson did have a big game. But look, even Toon, even after the catch and the fumble, I mean, he had 4 catches, 43 yards. Other than the fumble, he had a solid game. But it's progress.
Yeah. What about Pierre? Or we talked a little bit about Pierre. We didn't talk about Pierre Warren yet, but Pierre Warren kind of blew up with 2 picks. Pierre Thomas returns to action for what's – well, I know he played last week, though, too, didn't he?
Some nice runs. He ran like he wanted to run.
And not only did he – I mean, look, the two screen passes for 70 yards – and we gave it to him
on his hand. He ran like he was, I want yards, I want whatever I can, I'm running to play right now.
That's what he always does, and it's in Chicago. He always plays well in Chicago. Peyton always looks to get on the ball in Chicago, and he always performs. I mean, great, you know, I mean, a couple of crucial situations, and we just give him the screen pass, and he gets 30 yards, and then he gets 20 yards and gets the first down. I mean, it's massive.
He was the one that got it on the first and 20, right?
Yeah.
When I think Gruden was talking about, let's just, like, you're looking to get half the yardage back, and then he got, no, that wasn't, it wasn't him. It was a nice pass down to, Colston?
We had a few. It was spread out. I mean, Kenny Stills had 60 yards. Jimmy Graham had 80 yards. Pierre had 80. Colston had 60. We spread the ball around. I mean, Drew had a nice game tonight, considering the weather conditions.
Yeah.
I mean, 29 to 36, 375 and three touchdowns.
Ooh, that's nice. What's that equal in the quarterback rating? What was it?
137, almost 138.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, and Cutler was terrible for the first three quarters of the game.
The Bears were terrible for the first.
Hey, well, yeah.
So you realize now the Saints have now won three road games in a row.
We're a road team. It's crazy.
Getting ready for them playoffs.
Well, we're definitely, if we make the playoffs, we're going to have to go on the road.
Damon, you tweeted to us something, I'm sure.
Hold on. He must have texted it because Damon doesn't tweet.
Oh, I meant text. Yeah, sorry. Damon, you texted to Jason and I during the game. Again, I'm sure everybody knows about this, but it's worth mentioning. Breeze hit his 30th touchdown of the season, making it, what, seven straight seasons?
Actually, yeah. I texted that, you dick.
You're a 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 dick.
Anyway, Damon, what do you think about it? Damon, well, talk about Jason's text.
Well, I mean, look, it's a NFL record. We're used to Breeze breaking records and setting records, and I'm surprised because it was, you know, wasn't, but a couple of weeks ago he was just at 24, which was, you know, I thought was low just from what we've come to expect from a Drew Brees-led Saints team under Sean Payton.
Well, and also your prediction sure to go wrong. Predicted him to get 50, so you were disappointed all season.
Right, you know. Well, he might get maybe 20 the next two games. Who knows?
Yeah, right. Well, we do play the Falcons next week. He could get seven.
Does that count? Playoffs count in this?
Right.
So that's pretty cool. Special teams still sucks.
Yeah, that's
what happened? Like, did he chili like? Not chili dip it, but did he catch it fat? Did his foot hit the ground?
No, the kick that he missed, he barely missed, but it was the play before, which was just, it was comical because it was in the first quarter of the game where you had interception, fumble, then you had another on downs, and then we go to do the field goal, and McCown can't just hold it. He gets the snap and just fucks it up. But then there's penalty on defense. Oh, yeah, we get the first down. Nope, penalty on offense too. Negates it. Then kicks it.
He tried.
Right. So it was,
on the replay, it looked like he lost his footing. Like he hit the ground. I'm telling you, it looked like he hit the ground and just like lost his balance.
He didn't miss it by a lot.
No,
it was a close miss.
Adam's right. On the missed field goal, the second attempt, on the miss, and his follow through, he came forward and was falling forward.
Like all stumbling and stuff like that.
Right.
Nobody hitting him.
Right. I assume with the field being wet, that he lost his footing, and that might have contributed to him pulling the ball a little bit.
Cue the clip of Peyton. What kind of cleats you got on?
Oh.
You're not wearing the right cleats!
That's what.
Yeah, I thought so!
Did he really fuss for that, or is that
good
comedy?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad y'all see it. Y'all saw it, because I didn't.
So he did not put his best foot forward.
He must have been barefooted.
He missed it by a foot. All right. Defense had seven sacks tonight.
That one by John Jenkins was awesome. Like, he got the sack while being blocked. The one arm.
Yeah, he just bull rushed.
He was still being blocked and got the sack.
Same thing with Akeem Hicks later on in the game. Just totally ran over his dude and just got Cutler.
Yep.
But, man, like, it was weird. Like, Cutler would go back, and, like, the second, like, his first guy wasn't open, and then he'd look, and that guy wasn't open, and then he would just like, all right, well, fuck, I quit.
Do you think Aaron Cromer called a bad game on purpose?
No.
No, I don't think he can help himself.
I think Cutler's that bad.
I don't think he can help himself.
Well, I mean, can we talk about that? Because
sure.
I'm not even sure what the hell happened with Cromer coming out and having to apologize for something that he said about Cutler. I mean, did that just all happen today?
That happened during the week.
No, within this past week. Like within
okay.
the week.
All right, well, today was the first I heard about it.
Oh, that's because you're not on Twitter.
All right, so he's a texter.
No, he's so, newspaperer.
Oh.
So what did...
What happened?
What was the controversy?
Okay, I don't know what exactly was said, but...
Well, then shut the fuck up. does anybody else know what was said?
But I'll make it up.
I don't know what was said, but I'll make something up.
Does anybody know what was said?
Cromer came out to a journalist off the record, per se, and said that the Bears fucked up by paying... Or the Bears are regretting paying Cutler so much money because he's a terrible quarterback. Now, it was said, like, off the record... Well, it eventually came out, you know, media style, because everything is on the fucking record.
Is that like Gangnam style?
So it came out, it came out in, like, you know, sources say. So Cromer's name wasn't attached to it. But once it came out, Cromer then went to the Bears locker room and was like, look, this was said, and it was said by me. And then came back, like, to the media to tell them that I told the Bears that it was me. So now that everybody knows, that's kind of the story.
It was he even like cried when he talked to the locker room about it. That was reported.
But that's just stupid.
Right. So anyway,
that's the story.
So your offensive coordinator doesn't believe in you if you're the quarterback, and now you have to go out and play for him.
And he's calling the plays against the ex team that he coached for.
And Cutler is kind of a douchebag.
Well, yeah, that's
I mean, you can just tell.
That's no secret.
Yeah, Cutler's a huge douchebag.
He's really douche Bigelow.
So anyway, that happened.
well, there's that.
There's that. Yeah. David Hawthorne, I noticed he played a good game today. There was a blitz that he came in on. I think it was one of the earlier sacks that he was like rushing through this one gap, and then he like just kind of switched and went through the other gap, and it was just, I don't know, just beautiful on the replay how he just did that.
There was nobody. I mean, they didn't block him. I mean, they just didn't go after him.
Well, it almost looked like if they were coming for him, they went to where he was headed, but then he switched direction on him, and I don't know. It was just really cool to watch. And
the Bears definitely looked out of sync. There were a few plays where Bushrod looked back, and it's like, I can't believe you fucking got sacked. Well, right. And then even like the second Josh Hill touchdown, like it was a play action. Hill goes out. The cornerback is on him for a second. You know, linebacker, and like he's covered, and all of a sudden he just leaves. Like Josh Hill keeps going, and he just stops. And they just left him wide. Like the both defenders, they were covering him. All of a sudden, they just decided not to cover him.
Both of them stopped. Both of them thought the other one was going to take him.
Yeah, like he was covered, and all of a sudden, nope, he's wide open.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Hawthorne ended up finishing with 3 sacks on the night, led the team.
The defensive line played inspired tonight. Gallette played and got a sack, and even when he was out, Edebali came in and made some big plays.
Yeah, who now?
Edebali, number 91. Big tall guy.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who, when we cut Junior, he's going to take his place.
Ah. And then you're predicting that Ben Grubbs is going to free up salary cap. Well,
the offensive line didn't play great. And I mentioned something on Twitter, and Courtney's like, hey, we've allowed the 5th least amount of sacks. And I'm like, well, Breeze can avoid some sacks. And still, if you watch the game with your eyes, you can see that the offensive line has not been great. Jonathan Goodwin still played tonight. Even though we've been calling for him to be benched 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks in a row.
And then who filled in for those plays when they pulled Grubbs out?
Armstead, you mean?
No. Well, Armstead came out and Harris came in, but even Nubs missed a play or two when they brought in Calamente.
Okay.
Yeah, Calamente played a series or two.
So Lolito never played.
Which is crazy to me.
Right. Like I would have thought, if you pull out Nubs, maybe Lolito could come in and
play guard. But maybe he's just a center only. But maybe. I mean, I don't know.
anyway, it was just interesting that the.
In a way, it's crazy that Jonathan Goodwin still played, because Jonathan Goodwin is not good, and Ben Nubbs is. He got burned a lot tonight.
Guys showed up, I think, whatever Peyton did, the conversations he had to remind people that, you know, just because you have the job now doesn't mean you're going to have it next week. It looks like people were playing for their jobs tonight.
We played inspired tonight. We played motivated.
It was a different speed. It was definitely a different speed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I think y'all had kind of mentioned it last week, and I guess I never thought it would happen with a Sean Payton coach team, but y'all were talking about the locker room, and then we got, you know, some reports last week about the locker room and everything. And the only thing I can think of, and my buddy and I, you know, we were talking about it all week, and, you know, and I might be stretching it here, but maybe it has something to do with losing a Will Smith, a Jonathan Vilma, who, even though Vilma wasn't playing, he was a veteran leader, you know?
Definitely.
Smith the same way, Jenkins, and even Harper. And maybe what they did, you know, maybe what they didn't, especially Vilma and Smith, didn't contribute on the field, they more than made up for it in the locker room, kind of policing the younger players. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
well, keeping the camaraderie together.
Right. Well, and
the work ethic, the discipline. So,
right. Not just camaraderie. Exactly. Work ethic, discipline.
Well, yeah.
Grumbling, you know.
It's funny we recorded, right, because we recorded a little too early last week because there was so much more to talk about, and, you know, whatever. So, and then now to talk about it a little too much tonight is a little too old news, but I remember reading about the Vaccaro, whenever the whole rumor was that he's being benched and Sean Payton saying it's not accurate. Well, there was somebody that read something that claims that reporters from Texas, when he played there, were saying that if he doesn't have a disciplinary type coach to motivate him, or when he's free to make his own decisions on the field, you know, like if he's got a very strict assignment with the play call, he's good. But when he's just like, hey, go out there and do your whatever you think you need to do, it's that combined with the disciplined coach, he suffers from that. I guess he's not a self-motivator, I guess, or a self-disciplinarian, I guess, which is interesting because you would...
Looks like most of our team is not, so... Yeah,
right.
and even mentioned that, like, coming in to the season, guys were like, yeah, it seemed like guys were... We're worried about individual stats and not worried about other things. So,
I feel what we lack right there is that Lofton is probably a better player than Vilma, but he's not that leader that Vilma is. And when you lose Vilma and you get Lofton that comes in to kind of like take a spot, and it was kind of awkward at the same, like when they were both there at the same time, Vilma had to kind of switch. Mm-hmm. Now Vilma's out. I don't think Lofton knows how to fill in as that leader role. He knows how to play really well, but he doesn't know how to fill in as that leader role. And I think the defense lost that leader role, and it kind of fell apart.
Well, and also, like, Vilma was good, but, like, Vilma could read – he could read offenses. He controlled – like, he made the audibles. He made the adjustments. He knew what the fuck was going on.
I don't know, like, Bird's past. Now, we haven't seen much of Bird because he got hurt, but I think Bird –
Oh, you mean J-Bear?
I think we were looking at Bird coming in to be a leader as well. And then we lose Bird. So now, like, your defense is kind of really lost because you really don't have a leader on there. You don't have somebody to take the reins.
But he's still around them.
He's not.
It'd be different
if he was playing because it's his first year for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different now that he's hurt and he hadn't played with us in the past.
Right. Even though Vilma, when he was not playing because of injury, you're right, he had put the skins on the wall with this team. So he was already the leader. He was just injured. And I mean, Adam, I agree with you. Bird coming in, none of these guys really knowing or playing with him before. You're right. It'd be hard to be a leader who's not playing for him. So, I mean, it's how I started this discussion, saying losing those four guys in the off season. we lost more in the locker room with them being gone than we did on the field. But it has transitioned from the locker room onto the field. I think that's what all this rigmarole was last week with Sean Payton having to, you know, meet with a reported 10 players and letting Joe Morgan go to make a statement. I believe that was definitely a statement move by Payton and the organization.
I'm still kind of worried because there's nobody still to lead the defense. Like, I don't know who's going to – I still don't know who can step up and lead the defense.
Well, again, I don't know any – I mean, I'm not in the locker room. None of us are. But, I mean, just what we can tell from the media.
Lewis would be my best guess.
They might – right. And they might not have somebody.
But, you know,
right,
but look, everybody's not a leader. I mean, just because you play on the field and leadership in the locker room are often, you know, are definitely two different things, you know.
And, I mean – that's what you see out of Lofton. He can play on the field, but he can't lead.
Right.
I think Lewis, I don't know, for some reason I might see some leadership in him.
What it is because if you were playing with him, you'd respect the hell out of him. Because he's putting his hands on the wall.
He's from the West Bank, motherfucker.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. You need somebody who is going to inspire the work ethic. That's the biggest part of it.
It's not inspire. It's from a leader, it's demand. You know,
okay, that's fine too.
It's not inspired. These people don't have to, you know, everything isn't fucking Rudy where they have to inspire. I mean, you know, you know, obviously Drew Brees is a leader of the team, but when they're in the headquarters over there, you know, offense and defense are often separated, you know, doing their own thing. So he's not a leader of the defense.
When something that Ray Lewis and Trent Dilfer were talking about before the game, and they were talking about defense and whatnot, saying that defense is more a state of mind than it. You don't need the most talented guys, that it is more about the emotion and the state of mind than anything else. Yeah,
so talented guys are going on the offense. They want to put the talented guys want to put the ball in the hand.
Right. So anyway, let's move on if we can.
No, we can't. Let's stay with the subject.
let's beat it like a dead horse. That next segment going to be tweets from the Twitter thing. All right, we got a few of them. I'm going to kind of – I did not pre-screen these, so good luck.
Well, it's the day of the game. We don't have a lot of time to pre-screen them.
Right. All right, so this one's first coming in. Could Jason and Damon please pick the Falcons next week? Thanks. That's a throwback to you guys picking the Bears this week.
Unfortunately, I can't. I don't think I can pick the Falcons next week. I just can't.
Don't know if it's possible.
We got this.
Fuck the Jason.
All right. Hey, fuck you, buddy.
This one comes in from, I think that was Craig. This one also comes in from Craig. Do you think every starter on the Saints should change their name to Pierre? Would that increase our chances of winning?
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
I'd be all for it. I mean, Pierre, the running back, had a great game, and then Pierre, the defensive back, had two picks.
Yeah.
We obviously knew what he was talking about, Jason.
Thank you, Jason, for explaining the audience.
You get the... the stupid statement.
Good. I'll take it. I don't care. Advance to my fantasy football finals. I will take it.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So the last one from Craig. Who got screwed more? The Bears?
Is Craig the only follower?
No. He tweeted a lot tonight.
No, I know.
Who got screwed more? The Bears with Cutler's salary or the Saints with the Benson statue home game curse?
Oh, man. Wow. That's a good one.
See what he did there? All right, so thanks for the entertainment.
Wait, where's your answer, motherfucker?
I didn't know that warranted a...
Of course, he asked the question. You're not going to... You're going to mention his question, but just not answer
it? Okay, well, you didn't tell me what... Okay, go ahead.
Get the fuck out of here with that.
Time out. I think I see a roadblock ahead.
A Dome Patrol checkpoint?
Is that what you mean?
Yes, a roadblock. Please explain it to us, Jason.
A roadblock is when you are driving along a road and you get blocked.
I was just kidding.
Like, all right.
I was going on to the checkpoint because we got yelling Yellerson over there.
Answer Craig's question. The Bears with Cutler's salary or the Saints with the Benson statue home game curse?
The Bears with Cutler's salary.
Okay, thanks. Anybody else got an opinion on that?
Chris Farley, mate.
See what I did there?
Next tweet coming in. This one's coming in from the Gear Fondler.
Oh, you know what really fondles his gears? My volume, apparently.
What will the best thing? Will the best thing about the 2014 Saints be learning?
Everything, but if you had to choose,
would it be learning to win on the road?
Well, look, you know, before last year, when we mentioned this, you know, the Saints had a better road record than home record under Sean Payton. So last year, that was at the end of the year, that was the thing. That we couldn't win on the road. That was a media made up story, in my opinion.
It is all media. This is all media.
Made. That whole the Saints couldn't win on the road. Yeah.
But we are media, so we're going with the made up media story. Now we're road warriors. Like all of a sudden we just turned it around with the same people that we've had before. Now we're road warriors.
Well, but that kind of stuff does get in your head. I mean, I do think it affects the players to a certain degree. Some of them have even admitted that last offseason.
So now you can be like, oh, great. Now we got Atlanta at home. Now we got to go play in front of our fans and we're going to lose the game. No, fuck no. It's not how it works.
Well, you can be both. Why do they have, why can you only be one or the other?
A road team, both what?
Why can't you say we can win at home and we can win on the road?
Well, we did say that like in 2009 and 2011. We won everywhere.
Right.
And that's what Sean Payton said. It doesn't, you know, it's not the venue, it's how you play. And it's just that simple. And last week against Carolina, and Sean Payton said this after the game, this team cannot handle any on-field adversity. And that's exactly what happened last week. We got down early. We made two mistakes, and boom, they fell apart. Just that simple.
We would have lost 41. What was the final? 41-10, 41-3, whatever it was. We would have lost that same amount in Carolina last week.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or at a neutral site or anywhere. I mean, this team,
San Antonio,
doesn't have the
and we would have kicked down that fucking Benson.
Okay, so let me. Right. So
this team doesn't have the mental toughness that it did again 2009 when. You know, we came back against Miami, came back against Washington, you know.
Well, and I'm still not convinced that if let's say, we get a little adversity early in the Atlanta game, I am worried that they're going to.
Oh, correct. No, yes, it's still the same. Yes, this is still the same team that played last week. I mean, right. Yeah. You know, no doubt. I mean, this is.
We can lose next week 41-6, or we could win next week 41-6.
And neither one would surprise Damon.
That's right. That was one of my texters.
That was one of yours, yeah.
Oh, you have texters? Like your followers, but texters?
That's right.
Damon's going to be like the Cartman window.
Hey, bros, what's going on? This is Cartman. Be sure to subscribe to my channel if you haven't already, because subscribing makes you feel good. So today I'm going to comment on Call of Duty. More specifically, I'm going to comment on my friends commenting on Call of Duty, so let's start.
Next tweet. This one's coming from Viva Le Waffle.
Oh, we get a lot of tweets this week.
Yeah. Peyton waited till he, quote, had seen enough with Charlie Brown. Now a guy with two starts outplays Corey White. Okay, so it's more of a statement than a question.
I was going to say, that's not even the worst spot. Like, I've seen enough. He hadn't seen enough with Goodwin yet.
Right.
I've fucking seen enough, and I've seen enough for 4 weeks. You know who has seen enough of? Joe Morgan.
I mean, Joe Morgan, again, he saw enough of him, and it was his off-the-field shenanigans.
Oh, clearly.
Joe Morgan.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, obviously, he wasn't the problem with this team. He wasn't the reason why we were...
But as previously discussed, that's the overall problem with the team. It's not the on-the-field stuff. It's the off-the-field stuff, and it's...
No. A lot of it is on-the-field stuff.
But
it's on the field.
No, but it manifests itself through the collapse of...
Well, yeah, I mean, look, you know, P. Roblem and Corey White, you know, are definitely on the field.
Yeah, okay, that's true. All right, so Viva La Waffle's other tweet came in is, should coaches' trigger finger be quicker? Oh, okay, so it's a follow-up to the statement.
Well, I mean, you know, as far as the trigger finger being quicker, you don't want to – look, there's a happy medium. You don't want to go the total other way and a guy makes one bad play and you sit him on the bench, you know. It all depends on what you have behind him.
Which is a fine ass.
You know, because...
Wait, did this, you say Sean Payton has a fine ass?
Behind him.
That's Jason's opinion.
His girlfriend's taking the picture behind him.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't...
Whatever, fuck you, buddy.
That was a terrible joke.
It was a terrible joke, but still. Help a brother out, man. Fuck.
I don't think you're a 3.3.
No, I'm not. We need a Dope Patrol checkpoint.
Do you realize how fast you were going, sir?
Yes, I do. And there is an explanation for that. First of all, let me start off by saying I'm
going to go with a 6.3.
He's doubled.
Hey, I'm trying to be accurate.
He started the show with a 6.3. He's probably a 7 or an 8.3.
No, I'm trying to be accurate.
Really? Because you're acting like an 8.
You're acting like a fucking bitch.
No, see? That's something an 8 would say.
No, that's something fucking 4 would defend.
He's trying to. I think he's trying to pick a fight.
Adam, I know. That's why I know he's an 8. Adam, what's your number?
I'm going down a little bit.
Boo!
There we go.
There's an 8.
7.5, bitches!
There it is. Alright, Damon, hopefully we don't lose Damon. Damon's about ready to hang up, I feel like.
Damon's a -3. He took beer out of his stomach from last week.
No, I was a -3 last week.
That was funny. Okay, let's move on to NFL Reach Around. So the first thing, let's talk about the NFC South playoff scenario.
It's awesome, ain't it?
Yeah. So
we're in first place.
Obviously, there's more teams that can be the number one seed in the NFC than there are that can win the NFC South.
I think 3 teams are still alive. The only team out of it is Tampa. They lost to Carolina. They lost to fucking Derek Anderson for the second time this year.
If the Saints win next week and Carolina loses, do we clinch?
Yeah, we clinch.
We clinch.
Okay. That means we can rest players in week 17 and finish with 7 wins. We can rest players with 7 wins total. To me, that would be awesome.
And who does Carolina play next week?
I think they play Cleveland next week and Atlanta the following week.
Okay, so...
I guess Manziel's going to play this week, but fuck, come on, Johnny Manziel. If Johnny Football can't throw in Atlanta's secondary, then he's never going to make it.
You mean Carolina?
No, Cleveland. Oh, yeah. No, God damn it. Fuck, we just had a checkpoint.
I know, we established
it. And you haven't gotten any soberer.
Nope.
Okay, so then... What happens in the unlikely event that the Saints lose next week?
Then Carolina would have to win.
Carolina has to lose.
Would Carolina clinch with a win?
No.
If they beat Cleveland next week and we lose to Atlanta, then going into the following week, if we beat Tampa and Carolina loses to Atlanta, then we would. Atlanta would get it.
Atlanta would win.
Yeah. If Atlanta wins next week, then if they win the following week, they're in. And Mike Smith might keep his job.
If Carolina wins next week and then beats Atlanta, they beat us too, no matter what we do. So we...
No. If we win out, if the Saints win next week and the following week...
Oh, it's this simple. The Saints in Atlanta control their own destiny. If either New Orleans or Atlanta win out, they win the South. Carolina needs to win out also.
Carolina wins out and the Saints lose to Atlanta... Then Carolina's in.
Right.
If either three teams win out, they're in.
Is there a scenario where if we lose next week...
That we can still win?
Carolina loses and we beat Tampa Bay.
Right.
And
the Falcons would have to lose their last game.
Right, and Carolina would have to beat Atlanta.
Right.
So Carolina have to lose, win. We would have to lose, win. And... Atlanta would have to
win lose.
Okay, it's hard to do without a visual aid on a podcast. Okay, next piece of NFL Reach Around is the overall playoff predictions, and let's not keep it obviously just to the NFC. So let's assume we make it with the NFC South. So Arizona, Seattle, Arizona, Clemson.
Just those two.
Wild card.
The last two left in that.
Detroit, Green Bay are the only two in the North. And then Dallas and Philly are the only two in the East.
Well, how it seems is going to be play out is that the West is going to send two teams, Seattle and Arizona. The North are going to send two teams, Green Bay and Detroit.
The East is only going to send one? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, right now, that's how it's pretty, you know.
Dallas is 10-4 and Philly's 9-5. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. So who does Philly play in the next 2 weeks? Cause
at least Washington and
the Giants.
The Giants.
Philly's got a great chance to win two games. Dallas has to play Indy and then Washington.
Those five teams that he just mentioned have a chance to be like the number one seed still. There's five teams that can be the number one seed in the NFC.
Mm-hmm. That would be Dallas, Detroit, Green Bay, and Arizona.
Everybody but the Saints, basically.
Seattle. So six teams.
No, that's five. I only named four.
All six of those teams could be the number one seed.
Yeah. So let's say we win. Your wild card, best case scenario, who would you want to have to come here and play?
Well, just out of spite, I would want Seattle to come.
Right.
But I think for the Saints, we need the third string Arizona Cardinals come here.
I mean, you're probably going to have either Seattle, Arizona, or Dallas. Or no, maybe not Dallas. But either, I mean, would you rather St. Louis come here round one and then the Saints win and go to Arizona? Or rather Arizona come and then have to go to either Green Bay or Seattle?
Well, obviously, that first scenario, you'd rather Seattle have to come here and play.
And then go to Arizona.
And then go to Arizona.
That would be the best bet.
Yeah, I think I'd rather stay with the West and then have whoever's...
I wouldn't want to go to Seattle, but I could go to St. Louis. I mean, going to Seattle, we're...
Stay in St. Louis.
Well, what the fuck? I mean,
what's going on there?
Well, we have white...
God damn it.
You could have the scenario where... Seattle comes here, we go to Arizona, then we have to go to Detroit.
But if the other wild card team, let's say Green Bay wins the North and Detroit is the other wild card team, and Detroit wins out, they have to come to us for the NFC Championship game, right? If they're a wild card and they make it.
Correct. Any wild card team that...
Mm-hmm.
That would win out, and if the Saints were still alive, right, we would get the home field game.
And I feel like Megatron didn't play against us when we played Detroit the first time, but yeah. I'm just trying to see, like, out of Dallas, Philly, Detroit, Green Bay, who would you rather come here for the NFC Championship or have to go to?
Detroit. I think Philly's a little better than Detroit. Look, we played Detroit earlier in the year. We had them on the ropes, and we let them off, you know?
And that's a dome, so even if you have to go...
And it's a dome.
How about this? I don't want to go to Seattle. I don't want to go to Green Bay.
Exactly.
That's all that matters.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. I don't want to go to those two places. I think the Saints can win anywhere else.
Right.
Then the football gods will send us there, because that seems to be their MO this year. Okay, so that concludes our playoff predictions, and we're going to move on to the Pelican Plunge.
The game.
Yeah.
Playing to survive, aiming to win any way they can.
You're going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball off the glass. All
right, Jason, you think you can take us through the plunge?
It's going to be quick. It's going to be fairly quick. The Pelicans now sit at 11-12, but they are tied for eighth place in the West, which means I think as of now they would qualify for the eighth spot in the playoffs. Anthony Davis hurt himself during the game on Friday against Cleveland. They were without him for three quarters of the game in Cleveland, yet still managed to beat the Cavaliers and LeBron James. And got to send all the fucking LeBron fans home losers. And then last night they played at home against the best team in the NBA and should have won the game if not for some questionable officiating calls. Went to overtime.
State is better than Memphis?
Yeah, Golden State's the best team in the league. Golden State's the best team in the league. We should have, even without Davis the whole game, we should never even competed. And yet we took them to overtime and then just didn't work out. But a few calls go our way and the Pelicans win that game. Or if we make one or two more shots, you know, the game wins. So we're sitting at 11-12. We got a game tomorrow against Utah at home. They're in our home stand. We win that game, we're back to 500 and we're, you know, kind of right where they are. But it's interesting that we haven't had Davis the last two games and guys have banded together and played fairly well. So it's part of the growth of the team, and I'm excited to see it.
You know who I kind of have grown an affinity for is Daryl from The Walking Dead, Babbitt. He looks like Daryl from The Walking Dead, doesn't he? Maybe that's why I like him. But he seems like he's one of those guys. We talked about the Saints and that desire and the work ethic and whatnot. He looks like one of those guys that he's going to give it 110% every time.
You probably just like him because he's white, but he can make a few things.
No, I clearly stated I like him because he looks like Daryl from The Walking Dead.
It's your excuse, but that's okay.
Look, I'm not a police officer.
No, I never said you were. He's okay. You know, he's not terrible. He's okay, but we're...
No, I'm not saying he's the greatest guy in the court, but I'm just saying I like his work ethic.
But I do like the fact that we have been able to move the ball and score without Davis in the lineup the past two games, so that bodes well for their growth as a team moving forward. So it's just... Western Conference is just so tough.
And Eric Gordon, how long is he going to be out for?
He's actually supposed to be back in January, which is good. He didn't need surgery, but it's tough in the West, man. Like, the seventh seed in the West is like 17-7. Like, the division that the Pelicans are in, their whole division as a whole has a winning percentage of like 700. And the Pelicans are one game under 500, and they're last by a wide margin in the division. It's fucking tough.
Yeah. Did Memphis clinch yet?
Not yet. There's so many games. That's what you like.
No, I know. It's a joke.
He couldn't get that.
That one he didn't get.
Right. All right. It's good on Pelican Plunge. Let's take it to Pick'ems. It's all about the king for life, the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control.
I was actually going through, listening to the games on the weekend. I thought I had a shitty weekend, but apparently I did not. I had the best weekend of the bunch, combined with Damon. I went 3-2, and Damon went 3-2, and Jeff went 2-3.
I like that. I had the best, combined with the half of everyone else.
Oh. A third of everyone else. Oh.
And for the listeners, we carry over the New England San Diego game.
From the prior week that we all won. We all had New England. We all won.
Adam, this week you finished
4-1.
Yeah, fuck you, Jason. I finished the best.
You don't count anymore.
As for everybody else that's playing, Neil was 4-1. And everybody else was whatever else. Alex remains at the top of the big list. BGM, Neil, Jeff, Glenn. I mean, it's going to be hard for to change, I think, from here on out, but we can try. Craig has improved to 33-39.
All right, so we got a decent slate of games this week. Our first game, we've got an AFC matchup, the Kansas City Chiefs at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh coming off a win Atlanta. Kansas City coming off, I believe they won this week.
Yeah, I think so. 31-13. Yeah, they beat Oakland.
All right, so there you go. So both teams coming off wins this week. Both teams in the playoff hunt in the AFC. I think as of now, Pittsburgh would be the sixth seed in the playoffs, and Kansas City would be out. So this game means a lot. This game is in Pittsburgh, and the Steelers are favored by 3. The Kansas City receivers have yet to catch a touchdown pass.
All year?
All year.
Are you serious?
It's pretty mind-boggling.
The running backs and the tight ends have caught all the touchdowns.
It's pretty mind-boggling.
Yeah, well, Jamal Charles didn't catch any this week. Thanks a lot, asshole, for ruining my fantasy football. But
oh, fantasy football is awesome.
Fantasy football this week was awesome.
All right, I'll go first for this one because I was kind of on the fence just in a with Kansas City winning outright, being in Pittsburgh. But since they're getting 3 points, I will take Kansas City.
Oh, I am taking Pittsburgh.
You know the Saints beat them in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know the West is traveling to the East. I'm taking Pittsburgh.
They're central. Like, it's, you're talking about time zones? They're central time zone.
Who is?
Kansas City.
Are they?
Yeah.
You sure it's not one more? It's not Mountain?
Nope.
No, I think they're central. You know what, Adam? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, right. Pittsburgh.
Yep, I'm taking Pittsburgh also.
Excellent.
I'm going to get one game closer to Jeff, and it's going to be glorious.
Every week you say that.
All right, our next game. A big, big matchup. The Indianapolis Colts, who have just clinched the AFC South, against the Dallas Cowboys, who have a game lead on the Philadelphia Eagles. But DeMarco Murray broke a bone in his hand. He is questionable for this week. The leading NFL rusher is now questionable. This game is in Dallas, and Dallas hasn't been great at home. Dallas is 6-0 on the road, and only 2-4 at home, I believe. But anyway, two playoff teams, really. I mean, if Dallas wins this game, I believe they clinch the playoffs. Indy has already clinched the playoffs. This game is at Jerry World, and the Cowboys are favored by 3.
I'm taking Indy in the 3 points.
I agree.
Indy in 3 points. I like that quarterback better.
Does Indy get?
Well, you know what? I'm gonna go with Dallas here.
Thanks.
I don't think Indy's that good.
I know they're 10-4.
I mean, they have a great quarterback, but the rest of the team kind of sucks.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick Dallas.
He's scared. You're scared. All right, our next game, a game of the NFC West. This is a massive game. This game will decide the division winner. In this division, it is Seattle Seahawks at the Arizona Cardinals. Seattle is on a multiple game winning streak, just defeated San Francisco last week. Seattle finding a way to win, even without they won on Thursday against the Rams last week. They're back to their third or fourth string quarterback. I believe Ryan Lindley is quarterback the Cardinals this week. There were rumors that they might call Kurt Warner out of retirement, which might not be a bad thing. But Seattle's at home, and Seattle is getting 7.5.
And Seattle's getting 7.5.
No! God damn it! You do not understand. How are you in first place? I don't get it. Yeah. Seattle is getting 7.5. I don't get it. Yeah. Seattle is getting 7.5. I don't get it. Yeah. Seattle is getting 7.5. The home team is getting 7.5 points.
Yeah, they're killing me.
Then I'm going to have to take the home team with the points.
I agree. Take the home dog.
Wow.
No, fuck it. I'm going to go Seattle then. I think Seattle wins the division.
I'm going to go Seattle also.
Well,
7.5 points, I don't know, but I think Seattle wins the game, and I'm going to go with that.
Well, right. And
I think Seattle's going to win the game too.
So do I.
I think they're going to win a game, then I'm not going to trap myself being within 7.5 points of winning the game. So I'm just going to go.
That's a lot of points.
Is it a
primetime game?
Primetime game?
Yeah. I believe it's Sunday night.
Yeah, always take the home dog. Come on, Adam, you know that.
There is a one bit of difference here. This home dog is starting a third string quarterback.
Yes.
Ryan Lindley.
All right. So, yeah. Jeff, who are you taking?
I'm taking Arizona for that.
Don't make him change it, you bitch. We're moving on. All right, our next game. A massive game, Monday night game, the Denver Broncos at the Cincinnati Bengals. Both teams coming off wins this week. Cincinnati destroying Johnny Not-So-Football. Denver beating San Diego, even though Peyton Manning missed about a quarter. This game is in Cincinnati. It is the Monday night game, and Denver is favored by 3.5. Actually, you know what? Fuck you guys. I'll go first. Cincinnati.
I'm going to go Denver just because Jason's fucked up.
What you going?
I'm going Denver. You answered too quick.
I hope you're ready to lose. You know what? Y'all are all going to pick Denver. I know it. So good.
No, I'm actually going to go with Cincinnati on it with you.
But they follow the same tactic what they just said. Primetime game at home getting points. You got to go Cincinnati.
And they need more. They need it more than Denver does.
Denver wants home field. They're still fighting for that.
Yeah, Cincinnati's fighting to get in.
Ooh, and what's the spread?
Three and a half. Cincinnati gets 3.5.
Ooh.
Jeff, you're sticking with Cincinnati?
Yes, sir.
All right, then I'm switching to them.
Are you?
Yep.
All right.
Let's see.
I want to overtake that motherfucker.
Denver have not been playing.
They have not been playing well, and Manning seems to be hurt.
Yeah, he's their defensive asset has actually been playing better than the, you know.
Cincinnati can look bad at sometimes.
They can.
But Jeremy Hill's running the storm right now.
I'm going to take Denver.
You just said a minute ago, come on, Adam. You can't take a home team game.
I know. Well,
just fucking did it.
Well, that was that game, Adam.
Well, but yeah, but this game more so that I'm trying to pick different than Jeff and stay with Jason. So
interesting.
This was a strategic move.
Okay. All right. You know what's not quite strategic? Our shitty game of the week.
Here we go.
All right, so our shitty game is really, like, this might be the shittiest game of the whole season.
Jacksonville.
The 2-12 Tennessee Titans at the 2-12 Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, that's Thursday NFL, right?
That is Thursday.
Thursday night game, the NFL Network.
They're the lowest rated football game since 19.
Good. They deserve it. They deserve it. Both teams are in the same division. Both teams are 2-12. Both teams are battling for the number one draft pick, and only one of them is going to get it. And the Jaguars are favored by 3 points.
All the companies that bought commercials during the Thursday night game are asking for money back right now.
Yeah. Right. Hey, man, look, when I went to the Players Championship in May and I ran into a guy, he's like, dude, I'm so happy we got Blake Bortles. Jacksonville fans, like, we have hope now. And they're 2-13. So
he's throwing the most picks and the most pick sixes.
Yeah, he's throwing the most pick sixes of all season. So obviously, that's like, when people get mad for the Saints season, no, we're not Jacksonville fans. We are so lucky to not be Jacksonville fans. I am actually going to I'm gonna take Jacksonville.
They played the Ravens pretty tough this past week, which means they're going to suck this week. So I'm going to take the other team, whoever it was.
Tennessee.
Yes, I can't ever see myself picking Jacksonville to do anything. So I will also take Tennessee.
Ooh. So.
Pick Tennessee, you bitch.
Who's Tennessee's quarterback?
That's what's going to be what I was going to ask.
It's Jake Locker.
That make him back at quarterback? No, yeah,
Ben Berker got hurt. So it's
I'll take Tennessee. So that concludes our pick'ems, and we're going to move on to Saints preview. So the Saints are playing against the arch-rival Atlanta shit Falcons.
I mean, we have to beat them.
Falcons.
We have to beat them. We can't get swept by the Falcons in a season. We lost game one, week one. We can't lose this week.
So we should have won that game.
Yes.
So we know we can beat them if the Jekyll Saints show up.
The coach still is Mike Smith.
Or Hyde, whatever one you...
I mean, it looks like they said Julian.
Well, we know their defense is garbage. Is this going to be a high-scoring game? I mean, is this going to be like 40?
It probably should be, and the problem is, like, Julio Jones sat out this week, but they said they're hoping he's ready next week. I would rather he isn't, but if he is, we got to stick Keenan Lewis on him and just hope to God our cornerbacks can cover the other guys, can cover Roddy Shitpants. And,
I want to tell you what, Pierre Warren, you figure we, I mean, aside from Jay Bird not being there, we're probably in a better secondary situation than we were the first time we played against them. I mean,
of course. Not really. I think we just kind of got lucky. No, I mean, we don't have Bird and we don't have Bush. I wouldn't say we're better.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we're not better than we were. We just need to be fortunate. We need to force Matt Ryan to make shitty throws.
Look, the good thing with this, with the coaching staff, we definitely have an advantage. On quarterback, we definitely have an advantage. Like you said, Matt Ryan is a good quarterback in this league. And his wide receivers are dangerous, and that is our weakness. Hopefully, we can get some pressure with the defensive line, rattle him a little bit. Atlanta, despite losses in the last 2 weeks, they've played, you know, they haven't given up. Unlike the Saints, Atlanta goes down early, and they have fought back in the last several weeks.
Yeah, I mean, they should have lost to Green Bay by about 30, and they came back and lost by like 6. Like, they made it out of the game.
Right, and that's scary for me, because we have definitely been a team that have taken leads and given them away this year.
Well, not only that, like, if we get behind, we quit. That's the worst part. If we get behind early, fuck, we are not coming back to win any game. We have lost games from being ahead. We have not come back from behind to win a game. That's why we can't, like, we have to score early, step on their throat, take a lead, and force them into turnovers, and don't give it up. We still don't have a defensive touchdown all season. They don't have one. Can't predict one.
Now would be a good time to...
But we just need to... You know, like, if for some reason we get down quick early, we can't quit, but we need to take a lead early and keep the crowd in it. I mean, this is the last regular season home game of the season, and we need to keep the crowd in it for the game to win this game.
It's going to be... Yeah, it's the team that's... It's the emotional part that's going to dictate who's going to win this game.
But no, not really. We just have to play well. We have to come back with the same intensity we had this week in practice. We need to come out with that intensity in this week's practice. We need to come out and we need to say, hey, you know, we're going to win this game and you're the fucking Falcons and you're not going to beat us. Right. It's as simple as that.
And that is the good thing, being a rivalry game. This happens across the NFL, college, whatever. Two teams that know each other well and have a rivalry are always pretty close. I can't imagine us coming out and laying an egg like we did against Carolina. And speaking of Carolina, let me say everybody heard my rant last week about Cam Newton. And obviously, we still feel that way. But I wish him all the best. Hope he recovers from his little car accident he had last week.
He was listening to our podcast. You yelled him off the road, Damon.
I think you know, you might be right, Jason. I think he was listening to us when I went off on him. You know, it scared him a little bit. He jerked the wheel. He flipped his trunk car.
Shocked him. So, he wasn't ready to hear that yet.
He wasn't ready for the truth. He can't handle the truth.
No, he definitely can't.
You know?
No, so, it was Fat Tony sent his henchmen to cut the brakes off of Cam Newton.
Well, look, we don't want to talk about that, okay?
Right. We're not going to go that far.
We don't talk about stuff like that.
Right. He heard Damon say,
"Don't ask
shit.
Me about my work."
No, and he was like, "Holy shit, Damon's right." Like he couldn't handle it. Like he couldn't handle the shock of the system. Like, yeah, I kind of suck. He just couldn't handle it.
So anyway, but enough about Cam Newton. We hope he recovers and plays on the field. Back to Shitlanta. Look, it's going to be a tough game. Tough game against our most bitter rivals in the Dome. Two teams that have a lot of potential, but really don't
live up
know
to how, it.
Yeah, no, you know, definitely don't live up to it. In this game, like I said earlier, we have the better coach. We're at home, so
it should be enough.
And you know, I'm not telling any secrets here or any big reveals. We just have to play smart, keep the ball safe, don't turn it over. I think that's one of the things I saw tonight. I feel like that we played a better West Coast offense tonight. We didn't go for these long, deep balls as often.
And, you know, the weather probably contributed more to that. Than
well, you know,
good point.
Well, it worked though, but now, but I think that's what we need to do. And actually, if everybody who watched Monday Night Football, I was surprised to hear Trent Dilfer said something in the beginning of the show. He said, you know, around the league, you'll hear people talk about how the Saints play cocky on offense, and that's one of their problems.
He actually said we play arrogantly. You know, that was kind of a, you know what? Fuck Trent Dilfer. All he was an average QB that lucked out into a Super Bowl because his defense was an all-time great defense.
Well, that might be true, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't know football, you know.
But still, I mean, really? We're fucking arrogant? Fuck Trent Dilfer.
No, but that is what we've liked about Sean Payton.
We're cocky.
And his style was,
but I mean, offense arrogantly? What the fuck does that even mean? Like, we're just...
Well, I'd rather that. I like
we
that.
We play confidently. Don't say, oh, we play arrogantly. That's not even a fucking term. He wouldn't say that about any other fucking team in the NFL, even though other offenses play confidently like we do. Get the fuck out of here with that.
I take it as a compliment.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what he was saying is some of the play calls, you know, maybe going for it on fourth down sometimes, using a more of a hurry-up offense.
Somebody needs to tell him, that's not arrogant, that's because
smart football
sucks.
Right, it's called 20th century football, or 21st century football.
Go on, David.
You know, but anyway, but I do agree with some of the things he said, as far as, again, controlling the ball, controlling the game on our terms, you know, keeping longer drives, everything doesn't need to be a 35-yard
attempt. You know? I agree clearly. I mean, it worked tonight. We had steady drives, and we moved.
Right. And Jeff, you said something. Again, I thought it might have been a change in philosophy, but you're right. Maybe it was the weather that kept us from going deep.
We didn't get too crazy, but man, our offense was great. We spread the ball around. Three or four receivers had 60-plus yards.
Yeah. And it looked, I'm sitting here with the TV on now, and they're showing some plays, and it definitely looked like Breeze had a little more time in the pocket.
He had some good plays, and there were some bad plays with the offensive line. The offensive line did have their issues tonight. Breeze avoided some sacks tonight. Did a great job with that, but still, I mean, it's Jonathan Goodwin still should not be playing right now. It's amazing that he's playing over Lolito. I still do not understand that.
Well, what does Atlanta's pass rush look like?
Not very good. They're terrible. No, okay, so Atlanta's defense is awful.
Okay, so they're like, it's like playing against our defense.
I mean, look, Roethlisberger threw for 360 yards last week. Yeah, I mean, their defense is terrible.
All right. Well, that'll help us.
But I mean, look, their offense can put up points if our defense is not playing well. So
right. And that's the thing. If the good Saints show up, there's no way Atlanta can win this game.
And the Saints should score 30-plus points against that shitty defense. Mm-hmm. That's the key.
So it'll be a shootout. So what is your score prediction?
I am going to go with 37-28 Saints.
Damon?
I'll say 38-24 Saints.
All right. I mean, you guys are putting a lot of faith in our defense.
Just fuck the Falcons. And fuck the Falcons is going to be at the game.
Yeah.
It's a huge emotional boost for this team.
That they know he's in the stadium.
You know what? But Vegas doesn't. It can't be understated what he will bring to this team in the stands.
All right. I'm going to go with 38-28.
Oh, okay, buddy.
Yeah. And that's conservative.
A 10-point win while scoring 30 points. That's conservative.
Right. Final thoughts, Jason?
Final thoughts. Excited to finally get some fantasy football karma and make it to the finals. Also excited to beat the Bears on the road after all the heartbreak we've had in 06, 07, 08. We have come back the last 2 years. And
that feels good.
It feels great. And I'm excited to have everything on the line against the Falcons. I mean, this is the one game of the year. It's, you know, it's the Falcons. They're our biggest fucking rival. Let's beat these fuckers and just move the fuck on. I'm ready.
And Damon?
Yeah, I agree. Look, this game, you can look at it in a lot of ways. Not saying I am, but you can look at it in a lot of ways. You can look at it from maybe draft position.
You can look at it from the sideline. You can look at it on the TV.
You can look at it from the sideburns.
No, but, you know, again, you can look at maybe draft position, ask yourself what's really the benefit of making the playoffs. You know, can this team really make a run? And I don't believe any of us, I don't believe anybody thinks this team can seriously make a run for a championship. They're just too Jekyll and Hyde up and down, you know. You know, you can look at it that from, look, a victory here with this from the Saints, even though I think Mike Smith is gone next year already, but a loss of the Saints definitely puts a nail in that coffin, and he is gone. But from all the maybe good things that would happen with a Saints loss, I agree with Jason. This is the Falcons. Fuck them. I don't want them sweeping us. I don't want them to have 1 ounce of pleasure in their life ever. I want it to rain on them every day of their life. I want them to lose all of their loved ones. I want their grass to die.
Jesus.
I want their
boy that escalated to quickly
up and fall off. F*** the Falcons. F*** every Falcons fan. Let's go out and stomp these sons of bitches. And maybe, even though this would be a bad thing, maybe Arthur Blank would fire Mike Smith in the Superdome. That would be something to give us the laugh on, you know.
It would be great.
Even though, you know, it might be worse with him being gone, because he is an incompetent bastard. If he's gone, everybody's saying that Harbaugh is gone.
Uh-huh.
And
I would hope he wouldn't go to Atlanta. He needs to go to, like, Miami or something.
Well, I don't – Harbaugh could land in Carolina, too, if Rivera loses his job, you know.
I haven't really heard – he might be on the hot seat, but I'd be lying if I've heard – a lot of people talking about him with a hot seat this year. I think that last year when
because they're still in playoff hunt. Well, so is Atlanta. So.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, but Atlanta had that stadium, and they're trying to sell PSLs next year.
Oh, you mean the metal asshole?
Yeah.
It is a metal asshole. I mean, it really looks like a metal asshole that's clenching its asshole.
It's a metal anus. All right. So are you any more, Damon?
Nope. Thank you.
And that is all the show we have for you right now. I'm going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week. Ask you to tell your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Check us out on Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. We're going to ask you, if you do listen on iTunes, hey, leave a comment. Give us a couple of stars. Help boost our status on the iTunes. There is also the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dot com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Chicago piece-of-shit non-championship donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.